as Sarah said, we've got the opportunity for a couple of things. The first thing, which is the nicest thing, is that we've set up this microphone for you. For anybody who wants to say something about the camp, how they've profited from the camp in some small way or some large way or some middle-sized way, you're welcome to come and share that with us. We don't have a lot of time, so we don't want people just to sort of sit there and look at the floor and think, will I, won't I? There's only one thing, yes, you will, come on. So if you want to say something, you've got this opportunity now for a few minutes. And after that, if there's time after that, we have the opportunity also, if you've got questions left over from yesterday, because we know we didn't get anywhere near answering all the questions you put in, if there are questions that you'd like answered before you go home, then we'll have an opportunity to ask those. Maybe they can wait till youth group or some other time or some conversation, but if you want to ask them now, they can be. So first up, it's your opportunity to say something for a few minutes.
I've realised that a lot of you actually don't know my testimony because it happened a while ago. And talking to some people like Sally and Will, I realised that it's actually been a while since I've told my testimony. And the reason why I guess decided to share with you guys. The reason why I decided to tell you guys today is because it is sort of related to what Molly's talking about. And I thought also, since it's been ages, it's been a while since I was baptized, I thought might as well just share again. How much time do we have? Okay, I'll try to make it quick for those to say something. But basically, grew up similar conditions as you guys, Christian family, Sunday school, knew the answer to every single question was Father Jesus. I think one thing that's for me that kind of made me declare my faith was exactly 10 years ago, right inside that room, there was this question that I was asked, this scenario that I was asked, and it was, if you were on a plane that's not about to land safely and you had one last letter to write to your family, what would you say? And I guess the implication of that was that our time on here on earth is very limited and we don't know when the Lord will ever come back. And as Long said, what stood out to me in Long's talk was, if you're going to make the decision, now is the time to do so. You saw the word now in big capital letters on the screen behind you. That is something really important, and that's something that stood out to me because that was the reason why I decided to make my decision to follow Jesus when I was in ages ago, yeah. But because I think in Mark it says something about we do not know the hour or day when the Lord comes back, but he has promised to come back. And because we don't know what will happen to us tomorrow, if you're kind of on the fence on whether you would make the decision or not, like Long said, now might be the time to do so, to live that resurrected life. So yeah, that was a very quick and short summary of my testimony that you guys have heard. There's a lot more to it, but I guess, as Neil said, it's a few minutes and I wasted most of the break, but yeah.
Not yeah. Wasted. All right.
I've heard that Group 1 had a fabulous time down here in the dining room. Is that right, guys? Group 1, hand up in Group 1. Yeah. You had a lot of different activities with Fiona and Shelley. So what were some of the standout things? So we're going to go group by group, and anyone from the group, you can just pop up where you are and just say one thing that you found was really helpful or was, you know, something that stood out to you.
Smart.
Yeah? All right, so group one. Anybody? So you didn't actually do anything? Go ahead.
You get to, like, draw what we learned on, like, Friday, Saturday, or something.
There it is.
We'll do it past the mic, that's pretty fun.
This is a draw on Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah, pop up so that people can see.
We get to learn all the work. We get to draw on the back of Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah, but anyone else from group one? Things that stuck out to you? What did you learn though?
Oh, like how God died for us, and how Jesus died for us. And how he resurrected from the resurrection to bring that we will have eternal life.
Pass to someone else in group one. We looked at how you either think, like you have three choices. Either God is a liar, he's a lunatic, or he's Lord. And there is no in-between. He can't be like, oh, a decent person, he's a good teacher. He's either a lunatic or he is Lord, and you have to pick one.
I think this might not be new for a lot of you, but I find that like after reading a lot of different sections of the Bible over the weekend, it's a lot more interconnected than I first realized.
Pass to someone else. Anyone else? Group two.
What is
the email?
Anything that stood out to us, right?
Yeah,
we got clean sweep by the girls. we got clean sweep by the girls, so that was fun, I guess. Let's see.
Can you remove that, please?
This is my
room. Is that all that stood out to you from the fire? So first things first, I'd like to thank Michelle for being the best leader on the team. So something that really stood out to me was eternity is a really long time if you think about it. Because like if you don't, like what are you going to do for that long time if you're not going to be the world? Right? I just remember thinking that that's probably my thing on this
camera.
Bigger,
but something you have to either make a decision, yes or no, and you have to weigh up the things in like a scale, and it's like if you want to give up the things. You have to sacrifice some things to be able to follow Jesus. Something I really appreciate from this camp was Neil's talk when he went to the purpose of the cross. As prior to this camp, it wasn't really as clear to me before.
I was going to say thank you to Sarah, who's our other leader. Because before I left, I didn't realize how important Easter really was, and that it's really the central moment of our faith, and that's what we build it upon. And that without Jesus' resurrection, I wouldn't be able to believe in what I believe in today. So, yeah, thank you.
It was really nice to see like community Christians come together and say,
picture and this is what it's
great
song! I'm going to call it Caleb. And basically, a year ago, I decided to become a Christian. It was at this camp. It was like on the 7th of April, I think. And I'm just going to say it's like one of the best decisions I've ever made. And basically, before I became a Christian, I was thinking, like, I need to fix myself before I come to God, right? And then I have to get it in my head that it's God that will change me. And I can't do that without Him. So yeah. I'm also really grateful to everyone who helped me like with that. Like, I had a lot of good talk with people.
I just wanted to say I really liked the Q&A. I thought it was really good, and it was really, because there's like a really fine line between, I guess, like when we're talking about sexuality, there's a really fine line. But he's able to really clarify it, and yeah.
I really liked the good discussion and the question that was asked in it, because I think that they were really thought provoking and really got me thinking about like Jesus' death and resurrection and how it impacts our daily lives.
I guess what I love is that, like, what happened on the cross was really, really important. Not just the fact that Jesus died and sacrificed himself for us, but the fact that he rose as well is really important. Like, otherwise, like, we would be immersed in the people that are on the earth. We have the foundation of our faith is like meaningless, essentially. And I also found the Q&A really helpful, like what David Robinson said, like that the purpose of our life now as believers is to glorify God and to find and enjoy that process. Yes. And you know, the answer is it's to the life is not ours, because we're sharing Christ's life. And if we take away all of our like sinners' side of life, then what's left is the life of the Spirit. And the product of that is the fruit of the Spirit. And that's like an inside change. So the resurrection is really happening like the moment when you believe. And it's not like what you imagine at the end of your life when Jesus comes back. That's not like the resurrection, because that's when you truly make the decision to follow Jesus.
The reflection parts were really lucky, because the other reflection part every at the start of every session, so we'll reflect on the Q&A, the long or middle school, and for me that clarified all the stuff that were unsure about, and also the Q&A where it's possibly got
For me, it was mostly during the group discussions, talking about medical analogies, made me realize how much Christ like really suffered for us or like people who think they're really bad.
Anybody else from the group before? Okay, group 5, anybody from group 5?
One thing I thought was like really important is that we don't talk about resurrection that often, and especially in this piece, so it'll be a perfect example. Often when we talk about salvation, we talk about Jesus dying on the cross, but we don't mention his resurrection. But this is the other key factor of the salvation. I feel like it's really important because the salvation is incomplete without the resurrection. And thus, we should all keep in mind that when we talk about that Jesus died on the cross for our sin and he resurrected on the third day.
Can I just stand over there? Because I feel like I'm actually going to turn Bob and Lee. Alright. Can you guys all hear me? Because I don't even want to use the mic. Like, kind of echoes it. So.
Use the mic.
Yeah. Okay. So I have one thing about my group, and also.
You're now using two, but that's fine.
Am I? Oh, I have this. Okay. So I have one thing about my group, and also one thing for me personally. I think I do group, so group first, so it's more like broad. I would say like one thing that I really liked about the group was that like after each talk, after each session, that like Will and where's Timothy? They would always ask us what we thought. And I'll be completely honest, right? This morning, I was sitting right there, and then Long, he was staring at me, and I was half away, so I didn't catch most of the stuff. And then but Will and Timothy summed it up. So it's like very helpful, yeah? And also the second thing was I really like the second message from entrepreneur over here about Jesus breaking the bread for his disciples, because he knew that he wouldn't be with them for a while. I'm pretty sure it's the last meal they would have had. But it really shows how much Jesus is man and also God. Because he's about to go to heaven, he's gonna miss his mates, and he wants to have the last meal with them. And it was very deep, it was it really hit the spot. So yeah, well done.
So first of all, I really enjoyed the Q&A. I think David Robertson is incredibly funny, jolly, and cheerful guy. He's also really insightful, and he was really, really wise. That's how I describe him. His perspectives were really beneficial to me personally, because it brought a lot of nuance into, the whole of LGBTQ bad, the whole discussion. And so it was very beneficial how to discuss, communicate, and just talk to different people with different views. It's a factor, but it's not the main factor. And also I found something that was really, really beneficial was discussion time afterwards. Big shout out to William and Timmy over there, because our discussions, we summed up, it was really beneficial for all of us to really just get ideas. I say all of us, I mostly mean me and the New York, because there were a few bigger personalities in the group, and I apologize for you too if you got bored of hearing our voices. But I think that group really allowed us to reflect and really allowed us to reconsider what we actually heard, because you take down your notes, you put them away, you never see them again. But having that discussion afterwards just was really ingrained some of the messages into our memory. So thank you.
I think I really like the Q&A as well, and I like the group discussions especially, because after each session we get together and we talk about the whatever was open at the session. The group discussions were really helpful, because we had all our thoughts, and we didn't just talk about what it was talked about in the session, but everyone shared their own stories and gave their own of how they view it. And I really like Uncle Noel's first session when we were talking about the cross, because I never really thought about how humiliating it was back in the days about the cross, but then because Christ resurrected in our society now, the cross is more stronger viewed at. And the discussion groups are really fruitful now, and I really liked it.
I just wanted to point out that this year I had a really interesting group dynamic, and I also wanted to thank the people who organized the games. I think one of my favorites was telephone run, because we had some saying shush, and also like, I don't know what to do. So speaking back, having a speaking back became and it was really hard for the person at the end to guess what it was. Yeah. And also something I took away was that God's eternal purpose was for Jesus to die to, as a sacrifice. And this really stood out to me because eternal purpose means it was there before he created us, which shows the extent of his love and grace for us.
Anyone else from group 5 before Raymond holds
the mic again? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sure. I'm sorry. I'm right there. Somebody else is from the about the contradiction of the thoughts. Just how, like, we don't realize how out of character it is for Jesus to actually come in human form and then die the most human way. So that's just something to dwell for me, and it will help me to like appreciate what God has done for us, because he stood so low for me, and that's just really hard to.
Oh, okay, yeah. So I'm gonna go with that. It's really gonna be awesome. But like, I think, because apparently from Michelle or Judith, that like last weekend away, like a lot of people really like the music, and I feel like the music this year was really good. It was like a lot of people were singing that like usually don't sing. But I feel like when after the campfire, it was like me, Joseph, Peter, Miggy, Judith, Shelley, Neil and Will. And it was just like, it was a really nice time just to like, you know, speak from the heart, sing from the heart, and just like, not just for fun, but like, you know, to praise him, which is the ultimate goal.
Yeah.
Like, you want some like, oh yeah, you haven't shared yet.
I don't think we've got time for, there probably aren't any. Maybe time for Q&A. So instead of having Q&A, we're going to have IMQ. IMQ. No problem with that? But before we have that, or to as part of that, I want to very briefly make mention of something that's a very short account of the Lord Jesus' life in the Gospels. This is from Luke chapter 7. And you may be familiar with it. It happened the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him in a large crowd. And when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." So we have an account here of the Lord Jesus coming across a funeral, and he knew that this was the only son of his mother who was a widow. So this woman was now totally deprived. She'd lost her husband already, and now she'd lost her only son. So she is in a desperate place, and she had every reason on earth to be weeping. And the Lord Jesus sees her, and he goes straight up to her and says, "Do not weep." Now we know that the Lord's compassion for this woman was very real and very personal and very wonderful. The Lord Jesus never ran roughshod over anybody, but he always had time to hear and to see and to understand what people were suffering. But I think we could go a little step further, because the Lord Jesus knew why he'd come into the world and what he was doing. Nobody else understood, but he understood. And when he would have looked upon that woman and saw that woman's grief, he was seeing all of humanity's grief, because this woman was being robbed by death. Death was making her weep, and death gave her every reason to weep. She was not in the place that she should have been. She should have been prosperous, and she should have been secure. She should have had a family about her, but death had robbed her, and now her future was bleak. It was miserable, and she was weeping. And so the Lord Jesus looked upon her, and so to speak, in her, sort of all of humanity. And he goes to her with a determination, with a knowledge, with an eternal knowledge, saying to her, do not weep. And then he turns to the dead man, this boy, this young man, who's being carried, who's stretched out on like a stretcher. And he goes up to the stretcher, and the men who are carrying the stretcher kind of stop, and what's going on? And he goes up, and it says, then he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still. Why is he touching this coffin? That's not what you do. What you're meant to do is stand behind the coffin and walk with the procession and say how sorry you are. But no, he walked up to the coffin and he touched the coffin. And then he said, young man, I say to you, arise. And you wonder about the expression on the Lord's face when he said that. And I imagine, I don't know about you, but I imagine that on his face was a real anger. Not angry with the man, but angry with death. Because death had robbed this woman, and death was robbing humanity. And so there was like this command, a command out of the eternal dwelling of God, a command that came down out of heaven. Young man, I say to you, arise, live. And of course, he who was dead sat up and began to speak, because that command could not be resisted. And this young man lived. And then the Lord took this young man and gave him to his mother. He gave her the reason not to weep, because he was present, and he had come into the world with a determination, with a purpose, with a mission to defeat death and not permit death to reign. And then it says, then fear came upon them all, and they glorified God, saying, a great prophet has risen up among us, and God has visited his people. And they had every reason to have great fear, because who was this amongst them, and why had he come? And what command was this that could command death to depart and could bring life into this young man? Who was this? Here was God's Son sent into the world to bring life where there's death. And he was going to bring life by dying, by taking death into death. Death died when Jesus died, and he conquered death and rose again. So this is just one tiny little account of the life of the Lord Jesus. The Lord looks upon humanity and sees our tears. The Lord looks upon humanity and sees us as dead in sin. But his heart is that we should live, and that we should know him. So this is A and Q. In Q&A, you ask the questions and we try to answer. But this is A and Q, where I ask the question and you have to answer. And the question is, what will you do with this man?
That is such an important question. That is the most important question. What will you do with him? You turn your back on him. You make a joke of him. You just shrug off. This, do you dare? What will you do with him? Who is he? You must answer. This is a question that's compulsory. You will have to answer this question in your life. And the best time to answer it is now. It's always the best time to answer it is now. The day of salvation is always now. Don't turn away. Please don't turn away. Please take this question home if you must. Take it into the silence of your own room. Get on your knees and deal with this. What are you going to do about this man? And how you answer that question is going to determine your eternal destiny. Whether you live or whether you die, eternally. Whether you're with God in his presence or whether you're shut out in the darkness forever. Because you refused him who came to give his life for you, who loved you so dearly and was willing to die for you. So this is our question to you, and this is the question you must answer. And for those of us who have believed, what are we going to do with this man? We've got days to live, each day, another day, and we have to be faithful to this man. We can't say, aren't I lucky, I'm blessed, aren't I lucky, I'm saved, and think that that's good. We've got to live for him. This world is dark and it needs light. And your generation is the darkest generation. Surely, you know, in Australia, for 100 years, there's never been a generation as dark, as much in darkness as your generation. Because your generation is not learning about the scripture at all. They're not being brought up with the values that are in the scripture. So who is going to be the witness to your generation? It's not going to be old blokes like me. It's going to be you. You are the witness. You are the light. In your school, wherever you are the light. So if you've made your profession, if you've put your life into the hands of God, then live your life for him, wholly and solely. And don't mess about. You know that story in the Old Testament? You know Elijah? Elijah was scary. But Elijah said to Israel, how long are you going to live between two opinions? If Baal is God, well, don't serve him. But if the Lord is God, serve him. And that's the challenge for us. Let's not link between two opinions. Let's not be Christian one day and pagan the next. Let's be wholehearted for him and let's live for him. What are you going to do with this man? Serve him. Bow before him. Live for him. That's the answer. Choose it for yourself. Raymond, what do you say?
Sounds cold.
Now, what I would like you to do, stand up, turn around, face the other direction, face over towards the coffee cups, and see Sarah there, and say thank you to Sarah.
Thank you.
Sarah has done just a fabulous job, and you don't know the half of it.
You don't know half the amount of time that goes into these camps, so please give her another round of applause.
Okay.